I'm up. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Daniel. Daniel. What? Daniel, chapter number 9. We're going to be looking at three verses. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 9, and then two verses in Daniel chapter 10. I've been doing a study in the book of Daniel, and I found some very interesting things as I was going through it. And the reason I was doing this study was because of a message I'm going to try to get done, or should have it done for tonight, on one of the visions that Daniel had. And Daniel had many visions that God allowed him to see the future. And I want you to understand some things this morning about Daniel that only Daniel had for him, nobody else. And there was reasons for it. And tonight we're going to be looking at the vision of the four beasts of Daniel, because this coming Wednesday night, if I'm here, then we're going to be doing a PowerPoint of, I have to go in Wednesday for a procedure on my lower back. What they're going to do is they're going to, from L1 all the way to S1, they're going to try to numb the nerves that are in there so I don't have as much lower back pain. And then if it works, then I go in the following Wednesday, and then they burn them. And so we'll wait and see what happens on Wednesday. So I don't know for sure if I'll be here or not. But anyway, if I'm not, then Kevin's going to preach. And but if I am here, I have a PowerPoint on the four beasts and in heaven. And it's good, it's very interesting. You want to be here for that. Actually, what it is on the whole throne room of heaven and what everything stands for in the throne room of heaven in Revelation chapter 4. But there's a lot of controversy over the beasts in Revelation and the beasts in Daniel, and I'm going to clear that up tonight. So you want to be here tonight to hear the four beasts of Daniel, and it's going to be great. Daniel chapter 9, you there, Chuck? All right, Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. It says, at the beginning of the supplication of a commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Now turn over to chapter 10, verse 11. Chapter 10 and verse 11, it's just one page over. It says, for he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I spake unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Now let's take a look at verse 19 of chapter 10, and it says this, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. I pray, Lord, that you take and speak to our hearts through this message. Father, we all need it, including the preacher. And I just pray, Lord, that we might get something out of it that we can use in our own lives. And I just pray that we can be like Daniel and help us and guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there's two words in the text which we read that I want to look at this morning, and I feel are very, very important, and that's the title of this morning's message, Greatly Beloved. Greatly Beloved. You know, as I was going through the scriptures, and I did a word search on greatly beloved, and there's only three places in the whole Bible that these two words are used. And that's in these three verses. And they all three are speaking to one person, and that's Daniel. You know, Noah was a righteous man, yet he was not beloved of God. He was not a beloved man or a greatly beloved man of God. You know, Noah, as we recall, he got drunk, didn't he? And Abraham's faith was counted for righteousness, yet he disobeyed and he went into Egypt. And Abraham was not greatly beloved. Abraham was not greatly beloved of God. Moses was a man who talked with God just like you and I do. They had conversations just like you and I have conversations. And yet, he was not a greatly beloved man. Moses had a hot head. He had a temper. David, even though he was a man of God, he was an apple of God's eye, he was a man after God's own heart, yet he was not greatly beloved by God. He was an adulterer, he was a murderer, he was a liar, he was a cheat, but yet he was not beloved by God. You know, even Peter and John, who were the inner three, and James, were loved by the Lord. However, they were not greatly beloved. What sets David apart, or Daniel apart, from the rest of these? Why was it three times God said to Daniel, "You are greatly beloved. You're greatly beloved by me." Why was that? What was different about Daniel than anyone else? You know what? There's two people in the Bible, believe it or not, that I believe that should have been greatly beloved by God. One was Joseph, and the other one was Daniel. And the reason I say that is that think about Joseph's life. What would happen to Joseph? He was sold into slavery by his brothers. His loving brothers, amen? They sold him into slavery. He had to live in slavery, and then he was placed into prison. And then after he was placed into prison, he was out, and he was second in all command of Egypt. But we need to realize that Daniel was basically the same thing. Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem and took over Jerusalem, and he was taken captive at a young age. He was just a teenager when he was taken captive, and he was made a eunuch. And we need to realize that he was very, very wise, and at the same time being wise, the king took him to learn how to live as a Chaldean, the language of the Chaldees. But I feel that we need to look at the life of the only one in the Bible who was ever talked about being greatly beloved. I want to take a look at his life today and see what his life, why his life was different. Why was his life different than anybody else in the Bible? What did Daniel do differently than anybody else in the Bible? We're going to see that now. There are some things that Daniel did that, believe it or not, I think if we would do the same thing, we would be greatly beloved of God too. The first thing is this. We need to have purpose in our heart. We need to have purpose in our heart. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 says this. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of king's meat and with the wine which he drank. Wherefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want to go back to chapter 10. Of Daniel for just a minute. I got to find where I was. There it is. Whoop. Nope, that ain't it. There it is. Nope, that ain't it either. I can't find it right now. Or is it here? There it is. Let's go to verse 12 of chapter number 10. I meant to read it when I read the first part and I forgot. It says, then said he, speaking of the angel, unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand. I want you to remember that part. I want you to remember first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand. Underline that in your Bible. Underline also verse 11, O Daniel, man greatly beloved. And then also underline in verse 19, O man greatly beloved. Now, what we need to realize is this. From the first day, what was the first day? What was the first day that Daniel set his heart towards God? Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 8. What does it say? It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. There he set his heart towards God. From the first day, he said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to. I'm not going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to do what everybody else wants me to do. I'm going to do what you do, what you want me to do. That's what I want to do. And he purposed in his heart from the first day. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I might have a hard time doing that. Think about this for a minute. They took all of the young men, all of them, that were collected in Jerusalem. They had them in Babylon. They were feeding them the king's food. I mean, think about this. Eating the king's food. Wow! You know, wine and dine, amen? You know, these young men were handpicked by the king for a purpose, and they were to learn the ways of the Chaldees. They were given the food to eat, and they needed to realize that Daniel and his friends being taken captive in Babylon may not have had any food if they didn't eat what they had. But, you know, think of what they had to eat. What does the king eat? Steak, taters, you know, pork chops. The best of the best. Yeah, the best of the best. And that's what they had to eat. But why was it that he purposed in his heart that he would not eat what the king was eating? After all, hey, that was good food. It was great food. It was the best food in the kingdom. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't eat it. He wouldn't drink the king's wine. Why wouldn't he drink the king's wine? Because it was alcoholic. And he didn't want to get drunk. He wanted to keep his mind pure and clean. But why wouldn't he eat the food? Well, you know, we need to take and realize that the food was offered to the gods of the Chaldees. All of the king's food went through the false god temple and was blessed to this god before the king ate it. Daniel says, no, I won't do it. I will not eat anything that is offered to a false god. I won't do it. I won't eat it. You know, we need to purpose in our heart that we will not sin. Now, let me ask you something. Is sin something that just comes natural to us? Kind of. Do we have to sin? No, we don't. We do not have to. It's a choice we make. It's a choice we make, whether we want to sin or not. You know, do I have to go down to the river bottom and have a couple drinks and get drunk? Nope, I don't. You know, do I have to go to a drug house and smoke dope and get high? Nope, I don't. It's something that we choose to do. You know, did Eve have to take of that forbidden fruit? No, it was a choice she made. You know, what we need to realize is that we need a purpose in our heart that we will not sin. You know, we need to have that purpose. We need to tell ourselves, no, I'm not going to do it. We need to purpose early in life that we'll keep our bodies pure before an almighty God. You know, there's an awful lot of people today that say, well, that's okay for some, but it ain't okay for me. I want to live my life to the fullness.
You know, there's an awful lot of teenagers today who say, well, I need to take and do this before I get old. Well, I've never experienced life. You understand what I'm saying? You know, what we need to realize is that we need a purpose in our heart when we're young and say, you know what? I am not going to take and defile my body. I am not going to take and have premarital sex. I am not going to take of drugs and alcohol. I'm going to keep my body pure. But if you don't purpose in your heart to do that, you won't do it. Because then you're going to make the choice, well, it's okay for everybody else, it's okay for me. You know, I can do it just like everybody else can. We need to purpose even though we're older. Even though we're older, we need to take in purpose in our heart that we do not sin against God. You know, it's something that we have to physically and mentally drive into our heads. I am not going to do this. I'm going to put a purpose there so that I don't do it. You know, think of Daniel. Daniel said early in life, he says, you know what? I'm going to follow God in everything that I do. I can't get married, so I might as well do that, right? You know, Daniel, if you go through the book of Daniel and you read through the book of Daniel, I don't think I've ever seen another prophet as sincere about following God as Daniel was. You know, you take and you look at Daniel's life, and Daniel didn't have that good of a life, really. You know, the second thing is this. We need not only to have purpose, but we need to prepare. In Daniel chapter 2 and verses 17 and 18, it says, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. I think we all know what was happening here, don't we? Here we see that the king had a dream. The king had a dream. And he woke up in the morning and he didn't know what the dream was. Hi, Elijah. He didn't know what the dream was. So what he did is he went to his wise men. He went to the sorcerers. He went to everybody who looked into the dark things of life. And he says, tell me what my dream was and the interpretation of it. Tell me what it was. And there was not one of them, not one, that could tell him what it was. The king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, says, okay, he says, you guys aren't worth anything. I'm going to kill you all. I'm going to kill every wise man in Babylon. I'm going to kill them all. Well, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had all been made wise men. They were all made in that category. And Daniel heard about it. He goes, uh-oh, this is not good, fellas. We are in a world of hurt. So he went into the king, got entrance into the king. And he said to King Nebuchadnezzar, he says, hey, give me 24 hours. Give me one day. One day, and I'll tell you what it was. That's going out on a limb. That's real. But what do you have to lose? You know, he's going to die. What difference does it make? You know what I mean? So the king says, okay, yeah, okay, I'll do it. So look what he did. He went back home. He made a phone call. He said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, hey, guys, come on over. Come on over to my house. We're going to have a little chit-chat. So you know what? They came over, and they sat, and they had coffee and donuts, and you know what I mean? You know, they were good Baptists. And, you know, you have to have a casserole and or two. And so, you know, but here we see that he called his two friends and they came over he told them what was going on. And what did they do? Let's go down to, let's go back, let me get into chapter 2 here real quick. If you take a look at 17, 18, if you go to verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now I want you to look at what they did though. It, back in verse 18, that they should desire mercy of the Lord of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish, and the rest of them of the wise men of Babylon. Now listen to me. What did they do? They were going to desire the mercies of God. How were they going to do that? Text message. They were going to text message God. They were going to send him a text message and say, hey, God, do you have any idea what's going on down here? Beep. Right? Nope. Listen, the four of them had what's known as a good old-fashioned prayer meeting. The four of them got down on their knees and they poured their hearts out to God, asking God to give them mercy. They were preparing themselves for what God was going to do in and through their lives. You know, if it wouldn't have been for Daniel going before God and asking him that, if it wouldn't have been for Daniel purposing in his heart way back what he was going to do, now he's preparing for what's going to happen. You know, they were going to prepare for what God had for them in the future. You know, how many, it was on the other night on TV, and I happened to, Wednesday night, in fact, it was. I got home from church, and I was flipping through the channels, and I came on to Facing the Giants. Facing the Giants was on TV, and I sat there and I watched. I missed the first 10 minutes of it, and then I watched the rest of it. But, you know, I love watching that movie. I've watched it 100 times, and I love that movie. But do you remember the old guy walks up to the coach, and he said to him, he says, now, he said, there were two farmers. Remember that? There was two farmers. There was a drought. There was no rain. No rain whatsoever. And he said, the one farmer went out and prepared his land. He plowed it. He disked it. He dragged it. He planted it. And he looked at the coach and he says, now, he says, which of those two farmers were preparing for the rain? Which one of those two farmers had faith that rain was going to come? Listen, that's what Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They got down on their knees. They started praying. Why? They were preparing themselves for what was going to happen. They were preparing themselves for what was going to happen down the road. You know, we need to prepare for the blessing that God's going to give us. You know, too many times, though, we're not prepared to accept what God's going to give us. You know, God wants to give us all kinds of blessings, but we're not prepared for it. Our lives aren't what they should be. We're not living our lives the way God wants us to live them. You know, so many times we don't prepare for what God has. Daniel was not only not taking any chances, but he was preparing for rain. He was preparing for, he was waiting to see what God was going to do. Daniel knew that if he did not go to God and beg of him to give him the interpretation, that they were all going to surely die. The next day, they were dead. They were gone. You know, if Daniel would have walked in to the king and said, well, king, you know, I fasted all night last night. I prayed all night, but God didn't give me an answer. What would Nebuchadnezzar done? Taken their heads off. He would have. He'd have taken their heads off. We need to realize that we need to prepare for what God is going to give us. You know, how often do we get down on our knees and desperately pour out our heart and souls to God for the things that we need? You know, we need to pray, believe it or not, for our country. We need to pray for our country. Our country is in a world of hurt right now. You know, our country is in the worst shape I've ever seen it in the 66 years I've been living. You know, we need to pray for God to somehow, some way, restore this nation back to what it once was. One nation under God. You know, what we need to realize is we need to pray that the president and vice president and the Congress and the Senate will make some good, godly decisions. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray that God's hand will continue to be on this church and that we can keep the doors of this church open. We need to pray for the preacher. We need to pray that I stand firm on God's word. There's an awful lot of preachers today that are going a different route. I got into a little bit of a discussion this last week with one of them. He went and he says, what do you think the best version of the Bible is? EVBS, NIV, or something else? I wrote him back and I said, if you can't use the KJV, use the HIV. I got an awful lot of comment on that, believe it or not. I mean, just a few words, but I said, if you can't use the KJV, I said, use the HIV, and I said, you'll be right in there. He says, was that supposed to be sarcastic? I said, take it for what it was. And then all of a sudden, all these fundamental preachers chimed in. And, amen, Brother Storm, amen. Well, hey, that's the way I feel. You know, we need to pray for our families. We do. We need to pray for our families. You know, I don't think our world would be where it is today if we would have good, godly families from the beginning. You know, let me ask you something. Did Daniel, mom and dad, teach him what he needed to know? I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so, Daniel was just a teenager. At this time, Daniel was just a teenager. He had been in Babylon, they figure, maybe 8 to 10 years. When he interpreted the dream, when he purposed in his heart first, he was just a teenager. He was probably Michael's age. He was only maybe 8 years old when he was taken into captivity in Babylon. He hadn't been with mom and dad that long. Oh, he had been to the temple maybe 8 times, saw the sacrifices and stuff, but it was enough ingrained in him that through his life, he continued to learn on his own. He was homeschooled. He learned on his own. What we need to realize is back then they didn't have the Bible. Back then they didn't have, everybody didn't have a copy of the Bible. Everything was handwritten. So the third thing is this. First, we need a purpose. Second, we need to prepare. The third thing is this. We need to praise. We need to praise. Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Listen, Daniel, I want to read that one more time, and I want you to grasp this. It says, but there is a God in heaven. Would Daniel take any credit for what he is about to do? Daniel was not taking any credit at all for what he was about to do. None. Zero. Daniel gave all the credit that was going to happen to God. He wanted the king to realize that it was not what he was going to say that was going to be it, but it was what God had showed through him to the king of what was going to happen. You know, Daniel knew that everything that he had went through himself was done by God. You know, without the power of God, we can do nothing. Without God being involved in every aspect of our life, we are nothing. You know, we need to give him all the praise and all the glory he's due. You know, God created four beasts in heaven. Who can tell me what the four beasts are? A man, an ox, a lion, and an eagle. All right. Why did he create those four beasts? Huh? To give him praise. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. 24 hours a day. That's all they do is praise God. Listen, if he created four beasts just to give him praise all the time, do you think maybe he wants our praise? Do you think maybe he wants us to give him a little bit of praise once in a while? You know, it never ceases to amaze me how people feel that the things that they do is by their own power and not by the power of God. You know, without the power of God, we can't do anything. And yet, there's so many people that say, well, you know what, I can do everything by myself. I don't need God. You know, we need to give him all the praise that he's due. Have you ever just sat and prayed and just praised him and gave him praise for everything that he's done in your life? You know, God created those four beasts just to give him praise. And I believe that he wants us to give him praise too. Psalms chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, it says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High. You know, God wants our praise. He wants to hear us praise him. You know, David could not give God enough praise. Did you know that? Why do I know that David could not give God enough praise? Some chapters in the book of Psalms. Listen, you read through the book of Psalms and you look at how many times David gave God praise for what he had done in his life. You know, David could not praise God enough. We need to take and give God praise. You know, many times we have bad things that happen in our lives, and we lose focus on giving God praise for the things that he allows us to go through. When I was writing this yesterday, I got to thinking about Jesse Johnson. I did. And I got to thinking about the bad things that she's going through right now with her dad passing away. And yet, this morning, or yesterday when I talked to her, she said, this morning I read in the book of Psalms, I think it was. And she says, it really touched my heart. And she says, I know that everything that happens is by God's will. And, you know, I'll tell you what, that just thrilled me. You know, to think that she was helping me to get through what she was going through. You know, each time we have a trial or a tribulation, it makes us that much stronger for God's honor and glory. Every time that he brings a trial into your life, it's going to make you stronger for something else that's coming down the road. Believe me. In Psalms 106, verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. You know, if we want to be greatly beloved, we need to praise the Lord for what he's done and not for what we've done. Give glory where it matters. You know, I'm sure that Daniel did not want to be captive. I'm sure that when Daniel was a young boy and they took him captive into Babylon, I'm sure he didn't want to be there. After all, he was taken away from mom and dad. He was taken away from all of his relatives. He was made a eunuch. You know, what we need to realize is this. Daniel had a very tough life in the beginning. It wasn't until he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream that things started turning around for Daniel. Then all of a sudden, he was placed in a high position in Babylon. It was up till that point then, Daniel started to prosper. But you know what? Daniel never let it go to his head. He always gave God the praise for whatever he did. You know, I'm sure that Joseph didn't want to be where he was either. I don't think he wanted to be sold into slavery. I don't think he wanted to have to go to prison. After all, their prisons were bad. But you know, we need to have purpose. We need to prepare. We need to praise. The fourth thing is this. We need to persevere. We need to persevere. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his window being open to the in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime." Wow. You know the story. Daniel and the lion's den. The king had been tricked into signing a decree, a law that said no one can have a religious service other than to my God. Sound familiar? You can't have church unless it's my church, unless you worship my God. Sound familiar? What did Daniel do? Those of you can't see, I have a little boy sitting in the front row here watching me. But listen, what did Daniel do? No, not really. Daniel did this. Daniel went home. He went up to his room, opened his windows toward Jerusalem, got down on his knees, and he started to pray. How many times a day? 3 times a day. Why did he do that? There's a word in that verse. I'm going to read it again. And I want you to grasp this. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed and he went into his house, his windows opened in the chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled down his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before the God. Now listen to these words. As he did what? Aforetime. Do you know what the aforetime means? That means that he had always done it. It's something that he didn't just start doing after that was signed. It's something that he did every single day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He went into his room, he opened his window up, got down on his knees, and he prayed toward Jerusalem 3 times a day. Wow. It's something we need to do. It's something we need to do. We need to take in, I don't care what the government says, we need to continue to pray and worship as we should. You know, if anybody worshipped and prayed to any other god, they were going to be killed. They were going to get thrown in the fiery furnace. How many people do you think were actually thrown into that fiery furnace? How many people do you think were fed to the lions? I don't think very many. I really don't. I don't think there was a whole lot of people that were fed to the lions. Because I don't think there was a lot of people that wanted to die. So they went and they said, well, you know what? We're not going to have church. The government said we can't meet. We'll keep the door shut. You know, it ceases to amaze me. We can have church. Where's everybody? Where's everybody? Where are the people that should be here? And they're not. I realize Dana can't be here because of his health. My wife can't be here because of her health today. I realize that. Where's everybody else? Oh. Wait till tonight. You know, he knew as long as he was faithful and continued to do what God wanted him to do, that God was going to persevere and he would not die. You know, even though he had went against the government rules, he still persevered. You know, he was in good shape, let's put it that way. The next morning when Darius came to that den of lions and opened up that lion's den, what did he say? Oh, Daniel, did your God save you? Daniel says, oh, king, live forever. Darius, it says, started crying. That's okay. Started crying. It's back on. Listen, what we need to realize is that he persevered. It's easy to quit. It's easy to take and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to take and go to church anymore because I have to get up too early in the morning, get dressed, go to church, listen to preacher holler, yell, scream, make me feel bad. You know, it's easy to do what everybody else is doing. Sit at home, turn on the tube, and not worry about a thing. Listen, Noah went for 121 years building a boat that he didn't even know was going to float or not. But he continued to build it. And he went on a journey. He had no idea where he was going. He just got in the way they went. Listen, we need to continue to go forward and not worry what this world or the people of this world are doing. We need to persevere. You know, Daniel was not called greatly beloved. I want you to listen to this very carefully. Daniel was not called greatly beloved when he purposed in his heart. He was not called it then. He was not called greatly beloved when he prepared himself. He was not called greatly beloved when he praised God for what God had done. He was not called greatly beloved when he persevered. He went through all of that. It was not until he had done all these things that God called him greatly beloved. It was not until he had been faithful to God in all that he had done throughout his life. After all, you get to chapter 10, and Daniel's life is coming to an end. Daniel is in his late 70s. That's how long a period of time the first 9 chapters took. Now, think about this. It took Daniel from the time he was a young boy until that time period for God to say, "You're greatly beloved." And the reason he did that was because of what Daniel had done prior to that point. You know, there's a lot of us, including me, that are getting up there in years. But you know what? It's not too late. It's not too late for us to think about what we're doing in life. You know, if we're going to be greatly beloved before God, we need to live our lives like Daniel did. We need to realize that God sees everything we do, that He hears everything we say, He knows everything, every one of our thoughts. If we're going to be greatly beloved by God, we need to be like Daniel. We need to purpose in our heart that we're going to do right. We need to prepare ourselves for the unexpected. We need to give God praise whether we win or lose. We need to persevere even though the going gets tough. And believe me, there's going to be times in our lives when the going gets tough. And we need to be ready to persevere. Are you greatly beloved? If you're not, you need to get going. And you need to start getting and being able to be greatly beloved. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct us in all that we do and say. Father, help us, I pray, that we can be greatly beloved. You're a great and wonderful God, and we just pray now that you take and guide us and direct us in this invitation. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. I pray now that you'll help us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.